Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on a Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday, because it's always about the food. All right. Are you having tacos tonight, by the way? Do you anticipate tacos?
Probably not. Unless I did want to go to Taco Bell, which...
No. Okay. Well, you know what? I shouldn't just downplay another brand while I'm on the air, but I'll just say, I'm not going.
Yeah, I'm not either. You got to be in a very, very specific mood for Taco Bell, and it's normally around 11:30 to midnight.
We did go out to eat together to that Mexican restaurant on Southside.
It was really good.
Yeah. It was pretty good. Got a good outside sitting area, too. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, there's another place I need to show you.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah. It's sometimes the hole-in-the-wall places are the best. You need to look up Hector's.
Hector's.
Hector's is Colombian cuisine. Yeah, you want some fried plantains mixed with your rice and your pulled pork. Son!
That show's not even over. We're already talking about that.
Apparently, I had a light lunch. All right, let's switch gears. Number two of the Triple Dipper, World at War. Let's talk about some things that are happening in the world. And by the way, watching what's going on in some of the hotspots around the world, I am so glad that we have a different commander-in-chief and we have a different secretary of defense and we have a different cabinet and we also have the House and the Senate. Praise God. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the way the world was headed under the Biden administration gave me great pause. Think about how much stuff erupted during Biden's tenure. There's nothing that can really say that we were leading from a position of strength. In fact, the Biden administration prided itself on doing what they called leading from behind. That was a phrase that was actually coined by the Obama-Biden administration and then carried forward again when Biden took office. Leading from behind. What does that even mean? That means you're a follower. That means you're out there trying to be a little nondescript, not try to, exert your will. I got news. When you're the biggest dog on the block, people want to know what you think. They worry about where you are on the issues. They want to know what you're going to do in the event of certain things happening. And I'm glad we're back in a position where the guy in charge actually cares about that too. Where the guy in charge has actually run a business, has actually led people before. Because what we're watching around the world right now is we're watching the attempt at brinksmanship by some of our adversaries, and we're watching the rise of China, which is what is often referred to in military parlance as a near-peer adversary, meaning they're not us, but they're closer to us in our terms of capabilities than anybody else is. How about this? Let me pull up some stuff and start talking through it. You ready? Daily Wire. Now hold it in my calloused former paratrooper hands. Dateline yesterday, Russia just announced it will fund a new nuclear plant in Iran. Well now, do tell. On Friday of last week, the oil minister of Iran announced that Russia would fund the construction of a new nuclear plant in Iran. Purely for, just domestic purposes. Iran and Russia, says the quote, will continue their cooperation in the peaceful use of nuclear energy and the construction of new nuclear energy facilities and the completion of phases 2 and 3 of the Bushehr power plant using Moscow's credit line. This is called Moscow buying influence and currying favor. By the way, definitely with people that we don't want to see people doing business with. In January of this year, the article points out, Russia signed a strategic partnership with Iran stating that the contracting parties shall confirm their commitment to develop military technical cooperation. Military technical cooperation. Let that sink in. The contracting parties, Russia and Iran, seeking a commitment with each other to develop military technical cooperation. In the wake of military technical cooperation, Russia just announced that it would fund the construction of a nuclear power plant in Iran. Back in 2007, it says, Russia sent 80 tons of uranium fuel to Iran to help the Islamist dictatorship build a nuclear reactor in Bushehr. Russian ties are also very close to Hamas, one of the Iranian proxies. Russian ties with Hamas include things like the Wall Street Journal reporting recently that a Moscow-based crypto exchange called Garantex was a conduit for illicit funds to Palestinian terrorists who were involved in the October 7th massacres in Israel. They're also, oh, by the way, actively engaged with Hezbollah and the Houthis. Russia's been actively engaged in expanding security and military ties with the Houthis, including providing weapons to the organization. Media reports indicate that Russian intelligence officers were spotted in Houthi-held territory in Yemen. So this is an ongoing thing. The Obama administration issued waivers, says the article in closing, for certain Russian nuclear work in Iran. Waivers. Like, okay, you know what? If you're going to go and do it because we lead from behind, listen, we won't say anything, wink, wink, nod, nod, as long as you assure us it's for peaceful purposes. Well, in 2015, that nuclear deal where they sent all the pallets of cash over included waivers for Russians to do nuclear work in Iran. Trump did away with it during his first administration. Biden immediately put it back in. Russia has just announced now, in a continued effort to test their limits, that they will build a nuclear power plant. Now, what's going to happen with Iran? I am not a warmonger, but I'm also not an isolationist. I'm a realist. I know that if I were sitting next door, if I was sitting at my house and I watched next door and I saw somebody, you know, assaulting someone in the front yard next door, that I would not sit still, all right? The same is true on the world stage. There are going to be times when we will not sit still, even though it may not be us getting, you know, trading the licks initially. There will be times when we will intervene. I get that, and I believe in that. There will be times when it's also in our best interest to intervene. And there will also be times when we realize that what we do now will echo for years to come, and so we have to stop something before it gets bigger, a.k.a. Iran getting nukes. Fox News. Dateline, April 25th, which is what, last Friday, I think. President Donald Trump may prefer a diplomatic solution to stop Iran's creep towards nuclear weapons, but claims that he'll be leading the pact to war if the regime, if talks falter with the regime. Here's the actual quote. You ready? He was asked whether or not Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu might drag the U.S. into a war with Iran. Trump said no. He said, by the way, he may go into a war, but we're not getting dragged in. He said, you asked me if he'd drag me in, like I'd go in unwillingly? He said, no, but I may go in very willingly if we can't get a deal. If we don't make a deal, I'll be leading the pack. That's President Trump. Okay. That's the President of the United States saying that. Trump has said, by the way, that his red line is having... By the way, I don't know if he used the word red line. Did Trump ever say red line? I don't think he did.
Not that I can recall. No, I haven't seen anything.
You know, Obama said red line with Syria using nuclear or chemical weapons, I'm sorry, and then didn't do anything. So I think the use of the word red line in political parlance is like almost taboo now.
Well, there were several red lines for Biden and Ukraine as well with that, you know, anyways, sorry, don't want to go down that.
When you lead from behind.
Yep.
But before I just assume, I mean, I tell you what, while I'm talking, go ahead and Google and see if you see, did Trump... Iran red line. See what comes up. And if he actually said a quote. There's no quote here for that. But it says Trump has said that his red line is Iran having nuclear weapons. Enriching uranium well beyond civilian use levels to 60%. Iran is just shy of the 90% levels needed for nuclear weapons. So you only have to enrich it to a 60% level. Don't ask me. I'm not a nuclear physicist. I don't understand what all of it means, but I just sound smart when I say it, right? Anyway, you can get civilian use levels by enriching uranium to 60% for nuclear power. 90% is what it takes for nuclear weapons. I'm not sure what it takes for a dirty bomb. All I know is Iran is pushing forward. What'd you find?
According to Fox News, it says Trump has said that his red line is Iran having a nuclear weapon.
That's the same article. Yeah. It doesn't have him saying it. It just has Fox News saying that's how he feels.
That's the only thing I'm seeing, too.
All right. That's Iran. But there's Iran proxies. U.S. says it has hit more than 800 targets in Houthi bombing campaign. You notice how we're not hearing a whole lot about it. Why would that be? Well, I think part of it's the media, and part of it's because the Trump administration has not been giving a whole lot of information out. Don't ask me why. I think part of it has to do with operational security. But the U.S. military, according to MilitaryTimes.com, Dateline yesterday, says they have hit over 800 targets in the Houthi bombing campaign. I mean, apparently it's a relentless campaign right now. U.S. Central Command said, we will continue to increase the pressure and further disintegrate Houthi capabilities as long as they continue to impede freedom of navigation. Yeah, the Houthis are still launching stuff, by the way. And did you see, by the way, about the $60 million, I've forgotten what kind it was. I think it was a Hornet, F-18 Hornet, that fell off the carrier.
Oh, yeah, I saw that yesterday.
Apparently what happened, and I'm sure part of it was not secured to the deck, or maybe it hadn't had a chance to get secured to the deck yet. I haven't heard the outlines of why it happened. But they were in evasive maneuvers, the carrier was, because the Houthis were launching missiles. So they were in evasive maneuvers, and the swerve caused one. They lost a fighter jet, basically.
It's an F-18 Hornet that fell off, like I said, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so yes, the Houthis are still shooting. They still are. Even though we've taken out 800 targets. Statement from the Pentagon says, these strikes have killed hundreds of Houthi fighters, numerous Houthi leaders, including senior Houthi missile and unmanned aerial vehicle officials. Houthi ballistic missile attacks have dropped 69%. Kamikaze drone attacks have fallen by 55%. And even though these are way down, the fact that there are still ongoing strikes is still discouraging commercial shipping from going back to their old routes. It's causing world commerce to take a hit. Some of the prices you're seeing in the economy right now are because the Houthis were allowed to just willy-nilly shoot away. And the Biden administration would, they'd launch some countermeasures, right? They would do what they could to take out some, and they'd spend all the money in the world to take out a bomb as opposed to going to the source and taking out the point of origin. Well, now we're taking out the point of origin. I don't know what the cost is. The article points out this is expensive. But right now we have two carrier strike groups operating in that region. And that's the kind of thing that you see that is usually designed for a far greater potential for escalation. I think that's because it's a deterrence for Iran. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll come right back. And I got to tell you what's happening in Ukraine because there's been some new developments. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, by the way, check out our podcast. Go to rightsidemedia.org. We got a lot of stuff on that website. All of our video podcasts, the audio versions of what we're doing, you can pick them up on our social media platforms, YouTube, Rumble, all of it. But I got to make one more mention of something I didn't say earlier. That's the fact that we have a Right Side store. We got merch, man. We got hats. We got coffee mugs. We got t-shirts. We got the Ben Shot Bulletproof Influence glasses that have a 308 round embedded in the glass and say literally Bulletproof Influence with the Right Side Media logo on the glass. Engraved, by the way. Lots of cool stuff on there. And just got some Right Side stickers in, too. So get on it. Go on the rightsidemedia.org website. Check out the store. You get something, we'll throw it in a box and get it to you like ASAP. Natalie handles that and all the merchandise for us and does a great job. And usually when people order, they're getting it like within a day or two. So we're proud to have the merchandise store running. Natalie does a great job. Check it out, rightsidemedia.org. All right, I'm back on this topic of the world at war. Russia, Ukraine. Is there going to be a peace deal? I don't know. I think right now, I think there's a bit of Putin playing his usual games. I don't think that Zelensky has the same level of, brinksmanship capacity that you see in Putin. I don't think he has the same level of deal-making capacity that you see in Trump. But Zelensky is doing all he can to hang on as a country that was invaded and has, been losing ground. What's going to be the outcome? I don't know. The Crimean Peninsula, are they going to give it away? I don't know. That was taken back during the Obama administration. The Eastern Rim, the Donetsk region, that area, Kursk, all around the eastern side of Ukraine along the Russian border, I don't know. But the level of destruction, y'all, has been World War II level. I mean, there are whole swaths of Ukraine that have been just pummeled, devastated. Newsmax has a piece that came out yesterday. Russia launches nearly 150 drones against Ukraine as Trump doubts Putin's desire for peace. It says Russia launched a sweeping drone assault and airstrikes across Ukraine overnight into Sunday. That's this report came out yesterday, but apparently it happened over the weekend. Officials said after U.S. President Trump cast doubt on Russian President Vladimir Putin's willingness to end the war. Three people died, four were wounded Sunday morning in airstrikes in the Donetsk region. The attacks came hours after Russia claimed to have regained control over parts of Kursk. All right, I know these names may not mean much to you. Just picture as if you had Alabama fighting Georgia, right? The eastern rim of Alabama is devastated, and yet people are still going to work over in Tuscaloosa on the far side. You know what I'm saying? It's just, picture the madness of that. But what you're also watching right now is this renewed skepticism that we can find the peaceful solution because, and I understand it, Ukraine is saying, we are not going to settle for just losing our territory. And I get why they would say that. Russia is saying, we have no intent to pull out. We want to keep what we've taken. Trump says he believes they were very close to a deal. And you may have seen, too, there was the pretty striking imagery. You pointed out to me, too, the other day. At the Pope's funeral, Trump and Zelensky had a one-on-one. They actually pulled chairs over to the middle of a room and sat there face-to-face and had a conversation. Both sides say it went very well. And after that was when Trump vociferously called out for Putin to back off.
Yeah, and another interesting dynamic of Macron trying to nudge himself into that meeting.
And being told to please step away.
No. You go, go away. Okay, we'll handle this together.
CNN also reported that Russian President Vladimir Putin on Monday of this week was declaring a unilateral 3-day ceasefire. Okay. Met with skepticism, obviously. Yes. Moscow said all military actions in Ukraine would be suspended from midnight May the 8th to midnight May the 11th, which was based on what it called humanitarian considerations. It would coincide with Russia's World War II Victory Day. Okay. Putin's announcement was met with renewed urging from the White House for a permanent ceasefire comes as the Trump administration ramps up security. All right, the bottom line is this. We don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they know what they're doing. What I know is there's a lot of doings going on and the world is at war. I just talked to you about Iran. I talked to you about the Houthis. I talked to you about Hezbollah. I talked to you about Russia, Ukraine. I didn't even get into what's happening with China. All I'm saying is keep your eyes on the horizon, my friends. It's not a friendly world, but I'm glad that we have a different commander-in-chief. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.